Great to have Ryan Shannon here, Navy veteran. Ryan, how you doing this evening?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we got to talk about your story. It's an incredible story, but before we get to the... We're going to start kind of at the end, and then we'll go back to the beginning. Is that cool with you?
Absolutely.
So let's mention Music RX, which is the R and the X. It's like prescription.
Absolutely.
Like when you see that. MusicRXFoundation.org, right?
Yes.
So it's your mission is to kind of aid in the healing of active duty military personnel, veterans, and first responders through music therapy. And Music RX provides instruments, which is awesome, lessons, and experiences to promote the use of music as medicine. So, Ryan, before we get to that and really dive in, your story is fascinating. We talked before on a public affairs show I host on WCIU,
right,
and I was blown away at the tragedy that you faced in your life and the inspiration that you can provide and the journey you've been in. So let's rewind. You're from Morris, Illinois, right?
Yep.
We're up there. And then there was a tragic event that kind of reshaped how you're thinking and changed the course of your life moving forward.
Right. So I went to high school, graduated from there. I was a track star, broke records, went to state, things like that. Then I went to Aurora University for track. And while I was there, I would go to Northern Illinois all the time because all my friends were there. My best friend was in a fraternity over there. And unfortunately, during that time period, I'd gone to a party one night, got up real early that morning to go to class back at Aurora, and saw on the news that there was a school shooting there. And I knew from the instant that I saw that news, I was like, this is terrible, but it's going to get worse. And I couldn't really explain why.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my buddies that I ran against in high school and kept in touch with and stuff, he was a hero. He wasn't supposed to be in that classroom. He was there with his girlfriend for Valentine's Day. And she took shotgun spray into the stomach. And the gunman aimed her down. And he jumped in front of the bullet.
Oh, my God.
He didn't survive. And it did. It changed everything on how I looked at things. I didn't know what I wanted to do after college. I didn't really know what I wanted to be. I just knew college was the next step. So I started really sitting back and thinking about things. I quit school. I took a job as a janitor at my old high school. I was just kind of getting by, trying to figure things out, and it all clicked, kind of. I wanted to go do something bigger than myself and set my family up, my future kids, my wife. Wanted to set them up for something that maybe I didn't grow up with, you know, and
mm-hmm.
Go live with a different purpose. So I joined the military. I joined the Navy in December 2008,
mm-hmm.
13 days after I swore in, I was at boot camp.
Yeah, and you spent a lot of time on the West Coast, right?
Yep.
And your story is so fascinating because the role of fire plays a role in how your story progresses.
Absolutely.
Including you were part fighting a big fire on the East Coast, right?
On the East Coast, yeah.
Right. So talk about that.
So it was... I started on the West Coast in Hawaii. I was born and raised in Illinois, like I said, and they gave me, I was the third pick at school for orders, and Hawaii was up there. I'm like,
I'm
going to Pearl Harbor.
Right, of course.
I called my parents right away, like, I'm moving to Hawaii. So went there, deployed the Western Pacific, and we were over there during the Libya confrontation. We were over there during the tsunami that hit Japan. We just pulled out of Japan right when the earthquake struck. So there was things that we did on the plane over there.
I don't know what just fell over. Something just fell over in the studio. We'll take a look at that. Sorry to interrupt. That's how striking your story is. It is making the studio literally fall apart. I don't know if you heard we're moving across the river, so they're just letting this place fall apart. Eventually, GN's moving. So
the back of one of the shelves just blew off.
That's how good this story is.
It's trying to chase its way to Hawaii, too.
Right.
Okay.
It's warmer there.
So,
Okay. Deployed, came back, successful deployment. I was running up the ranks pretty quickly, doing everything and anything I could to make sure that I kept going and furthering my career because the military was absolutely the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up real quick. I fell in love with it. It was what I needed to be doing. And so we came back from deployment, and almost immediately, we moved to New Hampshire, the entire submarine.
Mm-hmm.
And
Although you mentioned they wouldn't take half of it.
No, they don't. They we have to drive it through.
Through the whole thing.
Yeah. You have to go through the Panama Canal.
Did you have to go down? Yeah, I imagine there's no other way over there. Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't get to go. I was sent earlier to get everything prepared to take everything out of the submarine and replace it with newer stuff.
So, oh, okay.
And by new stuff, it's like 10-year-old.
Right.
But in a shipyard in New Hampshire, there was a fire that was set on our sister submarine, the USS Miami. And I had just gotten off my duty day, which is we're guarding the submarine for the full 24 hours. So you have 4-hour watches and things like that. You're there the entire night, and then you work the next day, and you go home whenever it's time to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't even taken my uniform off when I got home, and I get a phone call from my CPUB, basically the kid I was mentoring. He was brand new. And he'd just gotten his wisdom teeth removed. So he said, hey, the USS Miami's on fire, and he's all groggy and stuff. And or he said, the Miami's on fire. And the Miami Heat were playing in the NBA playoffs.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that's what he was talking
wow,
about.
Wow, yeah.
I didn't think anything.
Not quite, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, the USS Miami's on fire. And I was like, holy cow. And we lived across the street from the shipyard. So I looked out my window, and I saw the smoke. I threw my phone, ran out the front door. My wife is 8 months pregnant with my first son. And I'm running down the street to get to base. And she pulls up, like, tires screeching next to me, and she goes, get in the car. She used different wording, but not appropriate wording for
right.
this. And so I get in the car, and she's, what's going on? What's happening? And I said, all I know is there's a fire. I have to report. That's what we're trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't think you go.
Right.
And she drops me off at the gate, and she said, don't go in that submarine. And I remember, this is the one thing, and you'll find out later in my story, I don't remember things very well, but this is the one thing I remember. She looked me in my face. She said, don't go in that submarine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll be home later. Like, I couldn't make that promise to my wife.
Right.
And that's one of those things that always is going to stick out to me. When I reported to the Miami, it was chaos. It looked like, it was like a chimney almost coming out of the top of the submarine. And there were people running around, firemen, ship's company people there. And I reported to the port side, looking for the man in charge, somebody who's usually higher ranking, tells you what to do, and everybody just kind of looked around at me, and I said, all right, Petty Officer Shannon, I'm the man in charge, route hoses to the port side, and everybody just jumped in the action.
Wow.
So all of a sudden now I'm a junior enlisted guy,
yeah,
and there's lieutenants and stuff like looking to me at what to do, and I'm just going off of what I think I'm supposed to be doing
right.
in the training.
Fake it till you make it.
Right, and so we fought a fire for 10 and a half hours. It eventually took the Boston Logan foam trucks came, and that's what eventually snuffed out the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure they actually did that. But I know on my side we had routed hoses, and we didn't have breathing protection and things like that on the outside. So the smoke and everything, you're doing 10, 15 seconds on a hose before you're out and somebody else comes
right.
in. And, it was on the national news. My family knew I was there because my wife had called them, so they're all watching the news, and we don't have phones and things like that, so nobody knows what's going on. And I remember pulling a fireman back. He was an older fireman, and
mm-hmm.
I could tell something was wrong with him, so I kind of just led him, and he didn't like collapse or anything, but I led him out of the smoke and everything, and he dropped his hose. And I went back, picked it up, and just went in
mm-hmm.
and started fighting as much as I can.
So you come out of that experience relatively unscathed, at least.
At that point, yes.
Physically.
I didn't think anything was
right.
wrong at that point, but
right.
this is when my wife started noticing.
Right. We're going to take a quick commercial break because it's another fire incident, but one that you might not expect that really changed your life. And we'll get to that after this on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Hanson and Mike Heidemann in for Petty Vasquez.
Hey there.
Hey there. We're talking with Ryan Shannon, a Navy veteran and the founder of Music RX, or Music Prescription. The RX is what it looks like. Music is our medicine. It helps aid active duty military personnel, veterans, and first responders through music therapy. Okay, where we left off, you had just fought a fire on the USS Miami while in the Navy, and it left you with some emotional scars that started to kind of pop up. We'll get to those a little bit more, but it was another fire event. Sort of.
Correct.
That really changed everything.
Yeah, so we train for in case there's something like a fire. And 1 year after we left, or that fire happened, we left shipyard and we're heading to the Bahamas, perform a fire drill. I'm sleeping for the 4 hours I get to sleep. And the fire alarm goes off. I get out and I have specific duties to do, so I'm responding. I'm putting my boots on, sitting on the ground, putting my boots on, leaned over, and another sailor came out of the top rack about 6-7 feet up, and I took both his heels straight to the back of my, where your head meets your neck, bashed my head in between my legs, and I was out.
A training drill.
Yep.
So you survived this fire, this massive fire, and it's a drill. And when if you don't picture the amount of force that a human being can have on the back of your neck, because I think people say, oh, someone, you got bumped in the back of your head. No, you got impaled. I
right.
mean, really.
And he was a muscular dude.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Like, it was.
So that really messed you up.
Yeah. So I came away. Eventually, I had mild traumatic brain injury. I had a headache for, I think we logged 58 days straight if my eyes were open. I had a headache. Mm-hmm. Lost a lot of memories. Don't remember my wedding when my kids were born. I know I was there. I've seen pictures, but I can't put myself there.
Which is a tragic thing in and of itself.
That's probably the worst part about it.
And then another injury, too, right?
So then a year after
this head injury. He's coming October, right?
Is that what you said? All October, yeah. Which is my favorite month.
Yeah,
but So I'm back in Pearl Harbor, and I'm kind of trying to take charge. I've tackled the TBI, and we're starting to ease the pains and the headaches and things like that. So it's Pearl Harbor. We go to the beach for fun. That's what we do there. So I took my division to the beach. Just a normal day, and I fell in the sand skimboarding, and I snapped my foot in half, and it was misdiagnosed for 3 months. I eventually, they found the break, and they casted it, the bone healed, but when they came off, all of my, I'd done severe nerve damage. I have a rare disease called complex regional pain syndrome, and I'm partially paralyzed in my left leg now. So,
wow. We're going to talk about how you overcome a lot of this stuff, but let's kind of get in a minute or so into the valley, because, I mean, you went down a dangerous road.
Yes. I was told by doctors I'd never run again. As I mentioned before, I ran track in high school and college. Running was my escape. And it was like a movie. They come in, and they're like, hey, we have some bad news. This is what it is. And for about, it's got to be 2-3 weeks, I sat in my couch, and I believed these doctors that I'd never run again, and I wouldn't be able to walk the right way again, and things like that. And all these other things, forgetting memories, stuff like that. You never think you're going to be susceptible to a depression or
right.
suicidal thoughts or things like that until you're sitting there and all this stuff is just crashing around you. And it got to the point where my wife was like, hey, you need to go take a walk. Go take a walk, put your headphones on, go outside. And what she didn't know at the time was that I was seriously contemplating things. Like, I don't want to be this version of me. What are my kids going to, how am I going
to
raise
them? And you're probably scared to reveal that to her.
And you don't know how to.
Yeah.
And so I went outside, put my headphones on, started walking back and forth in front of my house. And eventually it was like, why do doctors get to tell me I can't run again? Why do doctors get to tell me I can't do this and that? Like, that kind of fueled me, you know? But at the same time, it was the headphones, the music I was listening to, the lyrics and stuff like that were getting me off my butt, off my couch, outside.
Yeah.
And eventually I started jogging, like nothing crazy. And as time progressed, I started running. And I was like, holy cow, like I'm doing something they told me I couldn't do. So I started reaching out to like Wounded Warrior affiliates and things like that. And there's a Team Navy, adaptive athletics team, and they had track. And it was for people like me who had experienced things like this, life-changing things. And so then I started competing. And I started 2016 Warrior Games. I broke 2 records in track. And I came home with 4 medals.
That's amazing.
2017, I declined in track, but I focused more on volleyball, so I was doing sitting volleyball, and gold was the goal, and that's what we got.
Yeah.
And then I got invited to participate on behalf of the United States in the Invictus Games, Prince Harry's Invictus Games in Toronto a couple months ago. And I thought I would come home with a medal in volleyball, which I did, the bronze medal, but I also wanted to give track a try and see how that went. And I ended up coming home with a silver in the 400 meters. So I lost to an American, so I'm cool with that.
You're cool with that, right.
It's cool.
And the medals are incredible, by the way.
Yeah, they're sitting right next to us right here. These are
photo of them. They're gorgeous. Don't touch them, Michael. Oh,
sorry, they're just so pretty.
The case of this medal is nicer than anything I own,
yes.
Little in the medal. Hey, Ryan, can you stick around through the news? I want to make sure we talk about Music RX and the other side of it. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, then we got news. But I cannot wait to hear about how music changed your life. And I saw Mike's eyes open up wide when you talked about this.
Yes.
Mike is as big into music as anyone I know, so I think you guys are going to bond over some chats about this. And I want to hear about how your foundation, really quickly, give out the website again.
It's musicrxfoundation.org.
All right, so we're going to chat about that in just a little bit here on 720 WGN. John Hansen and Mike Heideman filling in for Patty Vasquez pretty late. And happy Friday now, Mike, officially.
Happy Friday to you, too. Just getting a little bit closer to Christmas each day.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good way to put it. It's also Friday.
And it's Friday.
And it's Friday.
It's
so,
the
weekend. Christmas is great, but, I mean, it's Friday.
And just in a few hours, you're going to be able to hear the WGN Radio Christmas show coming up. It starts at 10 a.m.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice little plug there for the station.
Yeah, why not?
Nice job, Mike. Okay. All right, we're talking with Ryan Shannon, a wounded Navy veteran who found that the power of music, with that power of music, he no longer needed to depend on the prescriptions he was on to help combat his injuries, which we kind of detailed a little bit in the last hour, well, pretty extensively, unscathed physically when you fought a fire.
Yes.
Emotionally, obviously, dealing with some issues with that. That must have been very traumatic. You get knocked in the back of your head severely by the guy above you in a bunk on a fire drill, and then playing around on the beach in back in Hawaii, was it?
Yeah.
You get your foot breaks in half, misdiagnosed, end up with a paralyzed leg, and you know, you go through a pretty dark path, and you find that putting on headphones, listening to music, and walking around helps, I don't want to say cure it, but it helps you deal with it a lot better.
Right,
did I get that right?
Yeah.
Have I captured that well?
Absolutely.
Okay. What about the music is it that you find is healing for you?
So for me, it's the lyrics. The stuff I listen to, huge 21 Pilots fan.
Oh, yeah.
Even him, his story is incredible. He's schizophrenic, and you can hear it in his music and his lyrics. They talk to you and everything. But for each person, it's going to be different, you know. Some people will gravitate towards rap or country or rock or jazz, whatever.
And you're equal opportunity. You like them
absolutely.
All, doesn't matter, whatever they need.
If it talks to me, I'm for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where... That my whole life I've been like that, though, as far as music's concerned. So when I started thinking of this idea that, hey, why don't I offer this to my brothers and sisters and law enforcement, firefighters, EMTs, the people who are out there experiencing some of the worst things you could think of. And I was like, I don't want to just focus on, hey, we give guitars to musicians
mm-hmm.
or to veterans, or we have a network of musicians who are willing to tutor you. I wanted it to be all-encompassing, because for me, I'm not coordinated enough to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried, I can dabble in a few things, but I don't think I have that ability.
Right.
I mean, so for me, it was the composition and the lyrics and the tone and everything, and so that's where I was like, you know what, why don't we have these three pillars where I want to give musical instruments to these people. And I don't care if you want a piccolo or a banjo or a drum kit. We'll
mm-hmm.
figure it out. We'll get you what you need to help you buy. And then I was like, what if they already have an instrument and they're looking to play? So my goal was to sponsor with people and musicians or schools who offer these lessons or packages and things like that, where people can come in and they get a lesson and we paid for it, and so it's out of there. They just have to show up.
They show up.
And then the final one was kind of giving myself something, was music going experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So some people want to build guitars. Some people want to go listen how I don't know how albums are made and things like that. So not just concerts or festivals, those are included, but anything we call music going experience.
Like behind the scenes,
right,
a little bit.
Anything like that.
That's,
I want to
really
be able to give
cool
that to them. And the whole basis is that if you're going to go to a concert for one night, you don't have to think, your PTSD isn't going to show up there. You're going to only be in your favorite bands and in their show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that you don't have to worry about that stuff, and that could change somebody's life, you know?
It's the Music RX Foundation. You go to musicrxfoundation.org. How can people listening help? Because obviously all this stuff is not cheap. You've got to provide these experiences for people. So I imagine you're looking for donors, partners, stuff like that?
Right, things like that. We do raise funds. We just held our first fundraising event, and we had live music there, and people came in. We did a raffle. We had a signed Tito's vodka.
Hey, there you go.
Acoustic guitar.
All right.
Somebody, you could bid on that, and all these experiences and things like that throughout the city of Chicago. But yeah, we're looking for anybody interested. If you have a musical background, if this could help you in any way, if you go to the website, you can see and you can click there, and your email will come directly to me.
I think donations and partners are not necessarily they're easy to find, but people are going to volunteer for that stuff. But yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. How do you find the people that need this help or that might not be comfortable coming forward for it? Is it you're relying on word of mouth that people tell each other that this helps or this might be an answer for them? And do you ever reach out to people that you might know that, hey, this might help you out? I mean, how does that work?
So recently, and this is something I've been doing, is I have my business cards, and at gas stations, for like the last 3 days straight, I've seen a policeman who have been filling up with gas. So I take a couple of business cards and I tell them what we're doing and give them to them and see if they can come out. But with the internet and everything, social media, that's huge, getting it out there. And then word of mouth with the events I've done for Warrior Games and Invictus Games. Those are huge gatherings of wounded warriors, wounded athletes. And so I get it out to them and it trickles around. But things like this too, getting it out there. And like I said, if you need help, even if it's not, if you don't want music or anything, I think my cell phone number's on there. So I will take that phone call. I don't care what time of day or night or whatever. If you need to reach out to somebody and you have nobody else to reach out to, I'm right there.
So it's musicrxfoundation.org. This is an incredible story that you've shared. And I know personally a lot of friends who have come back from the military, have come back from the Navy, who relied heavily on music to, you know, not only buy their time, but really change their life and change their perspective. So it's as easy as them just visiting this website to reach out and get involved in this organization then.
Right. And you'll go on the website and it'll say contact us, and you can fill out just a quick email, who you are, a little bit about your story. I'll send it to me. It'll come to me, and then I do have a secretary who I send it out to if we need to do anything like that. But for the majority of the part, the communication is going to be me and you talking.
Wow. So you get all the people you need, all the donations. Who's going to be that headlining band at that festival?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to pick one.
That's crazy. To even think about it.
Crazy questions.
Like I said, I'm a huge 21 Pilots fan.
Yeah.
If we get 21 Pilots at a festival, that would be fantastic.
The last thing I want to ask you, you mentioned that, you know, you're talking to a lot of these people and you'll take that cell phone call. Is it because you've been almost to the bottom of that valley that you know the way out, I guess you could say, or one of the ways out?
Absolutely. I think my story, there's a lot taken from me. There's a lot of stuff that happened to me, and I joined the military. I didn't join the ballet or anything like that, you know. And I knew what I was getting into, but when it happens to you, that's different. And like I said, you don't ever think you're going to wake up and the depression and stuff's going to set in. But I've seen it happen firsthand. I've received the phone call 4 times that a brother has chosen the way I didn't choose. And I think once you've hit that bottom and you fight your way back up, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to hit that bottom again. And if I can provide an ear, a listening ear, or my story can help somebody say, hey, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to keep fighting for it, something's going to come along, That's the whole goal.
The statistics vary, but between 20 and 22 veterans a day still take their own lives, which is a shocking number and something we all need to rally behind. Your organization, Music RX Foundation, is part of a lot of organizations that are trying to help. Ryan, I think that you sharing your story, being so open about it, is mm-hmm. it not only is a fascinating, inspiring, tragic story in many ways, but it's one that a lot of listeners, you never know who's listening, and it might have helped out even at this early morning hour as we go to 38 states and Canada. So, Ryan, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you guys so much.